Okay, before I start, I was guided to ask God to help me to not just sound good, but to tell the truth. So, my name is Blair. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is July 1st, 2024, and it is not my first, not my second, not my third sobriety date. And I say this and follow it with the fact that it's not that Alcoholics Anonymous doesn't work, it's that I didn't work Alcoholics Anonymous. And I needed to go through a lot before I finally got to a point where I realized that, like, this is the absolute, ultimate, and only solution to this disease that I suffer from. I have a sponsor. She knows where I am. She knows I'm speaking. She has a sponsor who has a sponsor. I actively am working the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. I have a home group right here. First time ever having a home group. So, like, that I show up for. So, like, we're going to kind of put that into the part of, like, not having consistent sobriety dates in the past. And I have the gift of making cookies, and it literally, like, lights up my house and my life every Thursday when I get to make them. I look forward to it. And, you know, the first time I was asked, like, my reaction was, like, I don't know how to bake. I don't know how to cook. Like, I freaked out, and, like, I can't explain it. The topic is sobriety date, and, you know, the first time that I ever walked into a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, I was desperate to get out of consequences. I really had no desire to stop using, although I would tell you that I didn't want to drink anymore. And, like, I have this disease that, like, is of, like, delusion. Like, I am a delusional person who is full flight from reality. So, like, I'm telling you that, like, I really want to be sober, but, like, I have no conception that I have no desire to stop inside and that my willingness just doesn't exist. So, like, starting there, like, it was a great exposure, like, came into the rooms, like, people were really nice, like, all I wanted was to socially fit in. You know, I made some friends, they were great to me for a period of time, like, that social experience kind of got me by, you know, until the day that it didn't. Because I have this disease where I'm restless, irritable, and discontent, and if I don't have the spiritual experience that we talk about, and that if I don't give it away, like, I'm doomed to drink again. And this is something that, like, I trudged for a very long time, you know. As time went on, you know, try getting into the steps, you know, I was really good at reading things and regurgitating, and, like, in a mechanical sense, like, I'll sit here and I'll do the work and I'll write it out, but, like, if you look at my life, it's crumbling. And, like, I'm too afraid to tell you that it's all falling apart until the day where it's so far gone that, like, I'm already checked out. You know, going to meetings, like, I would know people, but that was, like, the extent of it. Like, maybe I would call you once, and aside from that, like, I had a sponsor who I terribly harassed all the time, and didn't really let anyone else, like, I kept you at arm's length. And I definitely refused to associate myself around people my age because I thought there was no chance you would ever accept me, and, like, that was something that I couldn't handle. So, like, I, you know, I'm kind of getting further in. Like, my consequences are getting a lot worse. Like, you know, I'm feeling a lot worse. You know, now I have, like, I have a kid, I have a husband, and, like, the reality is, like, all these gifts that I get in my life don't really matter because, like, it doesn't matter how much I love someone else. Like I said, like, if I don't have the spiritual experience, like, I am doomed to get loaded again because I cannot handle the way I feel in my own skin. I cannot handle the existence to life. And it becomes so painful that all I want to do is black out to annihilation so I don't have to feel. You know, so, like, had an experience, you know, started going through the steps to get to the 9-step amends. And, like, I start doing them, and then all of a sudden it's like, whoa, like, this is too much. Like, you've now asked way too much of me. So I'm, like, you know, kind of, life's getting good. Like, I'm going back into work. Like, things are working out at home. And all of a sudden, you know, it's that subtle foe that they talk about, you know, and the idea that I never wrap my head around, that, like, half measures literally avail us nothing. So I'm trying to do this thing off just step work and off just going to meetings and just sharing to let you know that I may know something or I think I know something. So my ego is ginormous. You know, I'm not doing service work. Maybe I have a few sponsees, but it's only because I want you to know how good I am. Like, there's no conception of, like, that I'm this selfish human being that really, like, the point in life is to help others. So, like, that goes on, and then, like, I wind up at another point, and it's like, this is, like, you know, I thought this was the final moment. And I wound up in a coma for 5 days, 6 tubes in my body, unresponsive, body temperature dropped to 95 degrees, and, like, was not supposed to come out of it. you know, and God pulls me through this, right? And like, I see this gift for maybe a minute and fear sobers me for a little while. And my first reaction is like, I get right into these steps. But like, I've read the book so many times and like, you've told me what to do that like, it's really easy to write this out. And I'm still writing the same resentments I wrote in my fourth step 10 years ago. You know, maybe not 10 years ago. I don't know why I said 10. I think that was absolutely a lie. I apologize. I just asked God to tell me the truth, to help me tell the truth. So I guess we cleared that up. But like 5 years ago, I'm writing the same resentments down. You know, my four steps this thick. Like, it's, you know, I want to make sure I'm doing everything right because, like, I really think that I want to get this thing. I'm not going to my home group. I'm not making friends. I'm not talking to other people. And I'm useless when it comes to service. Whew, a year sober, you know, at this point, I'm speaking, you know, I've got these speaking commitments coming out and like now I've really arrived. And in my mind, like I'm going to become the circuit speaker. I've got this great message, you know, and the scariest thing is like I'm delivering a message at the podium, like a clear message of Alcoholics Anonymous. But inside my life is falling apart and I'm crumbling and I'm ready to go home to my home and murder my husband. And I can't handle the way I feel emotionally and I'm dying inside and I'm not close enough to anyone at this point to tell them. And by the grace of God, I get loaded. And this was the end of June of this year. And going into July 1st, you know, I had this experience where for the first time I haven't lost everything in my life, except for the fact that I realized how dark and scary and dying I am inside. And God places me in a position with this woman who is the exact spinning image of me. Her kids are the same age. Her fiance is the same as my husband. Like, she knows everything that I don't even know that I should know about myself. She's sending me messages like stuff like, hey, Blair, stop checking your temperature. And, like, I think that she's, like, watching me because, right, like, I think that getting sick is a good way to get out of things. And she's like, you're showing up unless you're at 105. But there's some difference here. And the fact is, like, there's some where along the line God gave me this humility and this willingness to just shut the hell up and listen to this woman. And I'm going through and I come to this meeting. It's really cool. And I text her that night. I'm like, I'm making this my meeting. And she's like, well, that was my home group when I lived over here. So the next day we're in the car and she's like, so you have a service commitment yet? I'm like, I haven't even told them I'm joining. So she picks up the phone, makes a call, and like all of a sudden I'm coming in with this service commitment. And like I'm doing this stuff and she won't let me go in the book. And the only thing I'm allowed to do is pray, meditate, and behave because she doesn't want me to think I know anything. And I'm like, this is kind of sketchy, but like the reality is it's like nothing up till this point for me worked. And by the grace of God, somebody else walked this same path ahead of me so that I could have the experience that I've been so gracefully given. You know, since then, 1, 2, 3, you know, my fourth step, she gave me 2 weeks. It was short, and I really thought that it was, like, undervalued and, like, not thorough. But, like, it was perfect. And I get to my amends list, and, like, I spent the past 2 weeks in Chicago making amends. And, like, I can tell you that, like, at 90 days sober, like, I have a freedom that I've wanted for I don't know how many years. And like I said from the beginning, it's not because Alcoholics Anonymous failed me. It's because I just couldn't get the hell out of the way. So aside from that, I'm really grateful to be here. So thank you, and I think that's all I got.
Okay, thank you, Blair. Our group has asked Matt to be our speaker tonight.
I don't have notes. I'm just pulling up a timer. All right, my name is Matt, and I'm an alcoholic. I'm normally used to speaking 25 minutes, so it's hard to condense my short life into 15, or long life, fucked up the joke, whatever. So I'm here to tell you what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. So I'll jump to the first time I took a drink, and, oh.
You got it?
Hello?
Here, let me help you. It's okay, man, I can help.
Is this good? Hello? All right, cool. Roy, yeah. Okay. First time I took a drink, I was at the very old age of 4 years old. And, you know, it's like my grandfather comes up to me, and he's like, try this. It's apple juice. Drink it. It's wine. And I'm like, what the hell is this? It was disgusting. And from that moment, I swore that I was never going to drink again. Look where I am now. The only thing I'll say about my childhood, because I don't really have the time, is that, like many stories that I've heard, you know, I grew up not belonging. I grew up the weird kid. I would force to isolate. Like, I actually, like, chose to isolate myself because I thought it would make me unique, which is kind of oxymoronic, but besides the point. So, second time I had a drink, sister's birthday, they had a fruit punch bowl. I was like, can I drink it? My dad was like, okay. And at the time, I had a lot. And I did not know there was alcohol in there. And I felt great. I'm like, this is like the best fruit punch I've ever had. And, you know, it took me actually into a few years of sobriety that I'm like, oh shit, I got drunk. All right, so the first conscious drink I took was, I was in high school. And, you know, something important to note, right, like that feelings of not belonging has stayed with me most of my life. And through that, it had led me to several suicide attempts. And the week after my second attempt, I was invited to a party and started drinking. And from that first day, I was not there to party. I was there to just forget about all the shit that I was forming in my head. Right, like it was never, like off rip, it was not there, it was supposed to be fun. Right, I was just there to get really messed up, and having a good time, at least in the beginning, was just a byproduct of that. You know, in high school, I wasn't invited to parties much, but, you know, I drank whenever I could. I drank to excess, never blacked out necessarily, but my hallmark was that I was like, I'm really cool. I can drink 10 drinks in 10 minutes. And, you know, I made some illusion of grandeur in my head that I was like the coolest person in high school. No one knew I could do this. I would tell people I'd do this, but the only thing that they saw was me passing out before the party actually started. So the fun that I was having was very short-lived. I'm going to flash forward into college because that's when the drinking escalated. First month of my freshman year, I end up in the hospital. To qualify, I'm an alcoholic. I asked that for my BAC. It was 0.37. So I definitely deserve to belong here for the amount I drank in such a short amount of time. You know, and I had a hangover for a few days, and the next weekend, I still